Are we ready to get into the word this morning? Yes. Good. You've got your Bibles out, but I haven't told you where we're going. We're going to Mark 5. Mark 5. And this morning I want to speak about faith without deeds is dead. And so we know in the Bible that it says that that God has poured out faith on every man. That every man has the measure of faith. So there's places in the Bible that says, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have not enough faith. Well, that's actually just the English language. We don't have enough ways of kind of describing. So in those places where it says you of little faith, there's actually this Greek word that says unbelief. You have too much unbelief, not you don't have enough faith. So I want to tell you this morning, church, that we all have enough faith because the Bible tells us to go out and raise the dead. The Bible tells us to go out and do miracles, lay hands and see the sick recovered, drive out demons in his name, and all of these things. And we kind of think, well, I don't have enough faith to do that. But it's actually this, the Greek word is actually you have too much unbelief. So we need to pick up our belief. So you all have enough faith. So this morning I want to speak about faith without deeds is dead. We need to now put this belief, this faith that we have, into action. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Cool. Hey, I just really want to say this morning, if you are new, it's such a blessing to have you with us this morning. So be welcomed and enjoy and just rest and relax in what's happening this morning. Cool. So Mark 5, we'll start right at verse 1. And Jesus has just done a miracle in calming the storm beforehand. And so they're on a boat, and they arrive at the other side of the lake. When Jesus climbs out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the cemetery to meet him. Now this man was terrifying the city. He was terrifying the regions that he lived in. Now, you know, like there's some places in Lower Hutt, there's places in Upper Hutt. We knew straight away, do not go there. Like, don't walk by yourself in the dark. Do not go to this area. That was one of the first things we found out about Upper Hutt when we moved here. Do not go to this place. I'm like, okay, we'll go to that place. So I'm sure you guys all know the same places in Lower Hutt or the surrounding areas, wherever you live, don't go there. This dude, this man possessed by an evil spirit, was terrifying the region so much so that where he lived, people would not go there. They were terrified to go in that area. So it's kind of like that. So as we read on, the man lived among burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. So he's so much possessed by evil spirits that chains can no longer hold him. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, because the townspeople were so afraid of what he was going to do, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Now, this guy is a weirdo. In other versions, it says that he's naked also. So he is like naked Rudy Tooty Nudie man that screams in burial caves that is like terrifying. Like, you know that when you're in the woods and stuff, and or like you're going for a walk and it's dark and you hear these noises and you're like, ah, what is that? Well, in this case, it's some crazy man that runs around that you have no idea what he's going to do. So people have avoided that area of town. That is how terrifying he is. Yet, Jesus is coming, and it says, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed down before him. So a man that cannot be restrained by chains, a man that cannot be contained, that is terrifying a region, what is on the inside of him recognizes who Jesus is, and he comes running and bows at his feet. And he says, Jesus, Jesus, what are you doing here? Son of the Most High God, I beg you, don't torture me. And so this guy that's fully possessed, as we go on to find later, that he's possessed by legions of demons, bows down before the Son of God. He recognizes who he is, and he bows down before him. And so Jesus says, get out of the spirit. And, you know, we hear the story that there's so many of them that they go into the herd of pigs, and the herd of pigs go crazy, and they fall over the edge of the cliff into the sea, and it's pretty radical and pretty crazy. And all of the people that have seen this are freaked out. They're like, this guy was crazy. This guy, Rudy Tooty Nooty Man, that's howling in the bushes in the woods. We thought he was crazy. But now here comes Jesus, a man that is more powerful and has more authority than these things that are making this man do this. And he sends them into the pigs, and now the pigs are going crazy, and they fall into the sea, and they're seeing Jesus, and they're like, ah! And so they run into the town. And they're like, this is what just happened. Rudy Tooty Nooty Man, he's been set free. He's normal. Something crazy has just gone on. And so towns come running. They come running to see Jesus. Verse 15, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. So they were terrified now of Jesus, because he set free a man that was crazy and insane, that terrified a region for years, and here comes one man, faith in action, Son of God, and he sets him free. And the people are like, what the heck is going on? So they tell Jesus, look, we can't handle this. We thought this was too much. And now you coming and you moving and you doing miracles, that's actually too much. So please leave. Please go away. We can't deal with this. We can't handle this. And Jesus is like, fine, that's cool. I will go. And so as Jesus, verse 18, was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. And Jesus says, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. Now, there's a whole other message in this that I'm going to try not to get entangled in. And so the man goes off to a region of 10 towns. And I looked this up. There is thousands, tens of thousands of people in this region. And the man goes back to the 10 towns and he tells them about what has happened. He tells them about the miracle. Hey, you know Rudy Tooty Man? You know guy that was cutting himself in the bushes? You know the one that couldn't even be restrained by chains? That was me. And people are like, what? No, it isn't. No. Because, you know, when something happens in a city, like there's like legends and rumors in a city, like there's this person, do not deal with them. There's that person, don't go near them. Rudy Tooty Nooty Man would have been a legend around this region. And so for him to go and say, I've been set free, I've been delivered, I've been made whole, this Jesus is real. This Jesus can do miracles. This Jesus is moving. What they say about him is true. And so he's going to these regions, telling them, spreading the news. He's creating expectancy. He's lifting people's belief levels. He's getting rid of the unbelief that has been in towns, that's been in regions, and he begins lifting belief as he speaks. He's setting a region up for Jesus to come back. And so Jesus has gone away and he's doing his thing. And it says now in verse 21, if we go down, Jesus gets back into the boat again. So Jesus has gone away from the town. He's gone and done his other things. And he gets back into the boat. And he went back to the other side of the lake. Now look at this. Where a large crowd has gathered. Where once before only Rudy Tooty Nooty Man came running, there is now a crowd that is expectant, waiting for Jesus' arrival. Because one man went to a region and began to lift faith, began to lift belief. Jesus, what they say about this man is true. What they say about him is true. So now a region is waiting on the shoreline for Jesus to arrive. Their expectancy is high. They are, some are there just for a show, right? Some are there just to see, what's he going to do? What's going to happen? What am I going to see today? Others are there just to see Jesus, like, yeah, I seen him, like I touched him and it was awesome. Some are there because their belief is now in action. Their faith is now being put into action. Some of them have need. Some of them need Jesus to move on their behalf. And so some of them are there waiting to meet with Jesus. So verse 23, then the leader of a local synagogue whose name was Jairus arrived, and he's waiting on the shoreline with the crowd. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now it's important to understand that Jairus, Jairus, he's like hashtag hater. Like, he is big time hater on Jesus. He's one of the ones that's against him. He's one of the ones that is trying to get rid of Jesus out of towns. He's one of the guys that is like trying to catch Jesus out and when he's speaking words of truth and stuff. He's one of the guys that's asking questions against Jesus. So you have to understand, for Jairus to be there waiting to talk to Jesus is a massive deal. Massive deal. He is a man of prestige. He is a man of honor. He is a man of high esteem in the community. Okay? We get that? Yeah. That Jairus is actually against Jesus. He's not for Jesus, but he has need. And he's heard about what happened with Rudy Tooty Nudy Man. And his faith is now being actioned to the point that when he saw Jesus, he falls on his feet. He falls on his feet. Now, a man in this culture, a man in this time of his esteem in a community, should not bow down to anybody. This is unreal what is happening right now. And he says to him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands. Heal her so she can live." The words that he said there are important. He's not saying, maybe if you come, she might live. Maybe, Jesus, if you turn up, something might happen. His faith, his belief has been lifted up to a level where he is now expectant for Jesus to move. That if only Jesus would come and lay hands, his daughter would be healed. There is no maybe about it in his mind. Why? Because Rudy Tooty Nudy Man has become, and he shared his experiences. What they say about Jesus is true. He is healer. So Jairus has now had his faith lifted. He's now lifted his belief to a point where there's no excuses, where there's no maybe about it. Jesus, if only you come, I know that she will be healed. Amen. If she receives a touch from you, she will be healed. Now watch this. Jesus, without saying anything, follows Jairus. Jesus went with him, all the people following and crowding around him. I'll continue on. I'll come back to that. So now, verse 25, a woman in the crowd. Now we know this story, had suffered with bleeding for 12 years. This is in the same story. I think this is awesome. She had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she owned and spent everything she had to pay them, but had gotten no better. In fact, she had only gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. Yes. She had heard about Jesus. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. She had heard about Jesus. Now her faith is lifted. Her belief is lifted. So not only is Jairus, local leader, hashtag hater against Jesus in the crowd, but now a woman of bleeding. Now you have to understand that in this culture, in this time, if you are sick, if you are ill, if you have something wrong with you, you are isolated from society. You are actually put outside of town in a camp away from everybody else so that you don't infect anybody, so that nobody becomes unclean. You're actually seen unclean. And if you reach out and touch someone, they then become unclean just because they've had contact with you. So the culture of this time is this woman shouldn't even be in town. And under the law of this time, had she come into town while she's in this state, they actually have grounds to stone her. She can be killed. So not only will she be condemned by people, you're the woman of bleeding, get out of here, somebody come on, grab your stones, let's get rid of her, she's broken the law, she's broken the rules. And so she has lifted her belief so much so to a level that she says, if only I can touch the hem of Jesus, if only I can touch the hem of his robe, I will be healed. No maybe about it. Her belief is not at a level of maybe Jesus will, maybe he'll move on my behalf. But it's so much so to a level where she's actually putting her life on the line. Her belief has been lifted to a level where it does not matter what people are now going to say about me. It now does not matter what people do to me, because I know what they say about Jesus is true. And so it goes on. She had heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him through the crowd, touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Immediately. Now, I want to go back for a second to when Jesus steps off the boat and Jairus falls at his feet. Okay, so I'll go up here. Okay, so you can all see me. For a moment, I am Jesus, okay? Jesus, Son of God. He's not just going to this town so he can have like a coffee and a fun time, right? He's the Son of God. He's got a plan, amen? Amen. So he's getting off the boat, going to do what Jesus does, whatever that was that day. So Jesus, on the boat, has a plan, going this way, all right? On the boat. Jairus falls at his feet. If only you will come and lay hands, I know she'll be healed. Son of God has a plan. Jairus, without saying anything, turns, follows Jairus. Walking in the crowd, woman comes behind him, touches. If only I can touch him, I know I'll be healed. Touches. I didn't read this out of the word, but it actually says, when the woman touched him, Jesus turns. One more time. Jesus, boat, plan. Jairus, plan. Jairus falls. Jesus turns, follows Jairus. Walking, woman touches. Jesus turns. Let me put it like this. So we all know, man, you are tall if you can sing into that. That is insane. Okay, let me put it like this. The Bible says that Jesus shall supply all of our needs. Amen? Amen? So we believe that Jesus is our supply, that in him there is everything that we may need. Amen? Amen. He does not lack for anything. Amen? Amen. We believe that about Jesus? Yeah. Okay, so it's okay if I refer to Jesus as supply. He is our supply. Is that okay? That's okay with everybody here. Does anybody have a problem if I refer to Jesus as supply? No. Okay. Now I'm going to refer to Jairus and the woman as belief. All right? Because they came with belief. They came with their faith being actioned. Supply on the boat. Supply to what they needed on the boat. Going to do whatever supply does. Belief is here. Not saying a word, supply follows belief. Supply following belief. Belief comes from behind and touches the supply. And supply turns. Supply is following belief. Jesus' course this day is being dictated to by people that have belief. This blew me away when I read in verse, wherever it is, where is it? Yeah, verse 30. Jesus realized at once that the healing power had gone out from him, so he turned. Twice, Jesus has turned in response to belief. Amen. So, we are on the journey now. And he's turned and he's talking to this woman of bleeding who has just radically been healed. And he says to her, who touched my robe? The disciples said, Jesus, are you crazy? Look at the crowd. They're mobbing you. They're like throwing themselves at you. Who touched you? That is ridiculous. And so they keep talking. Who touched me? Keeps on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling in the realization of what had happened, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Again, the English language here is a bit lacking. The Greek word means whole. Your faith has made you whole, meaning complete, lacking nothing. Complete and lacking nothing. Now, we learned about this woman earlier that not only was she sick, but also that she had spent everything to the point where she was broke. Now, Jesus is saying to her, you have been made whole, complete and lacking nothing. So she had lost everything financially as well. And Jesus is saying, I've made you whole. You now lack nothing. So imagine if we could have followed this woman home, if the story followed her home to the point where she goes back to her family. She's no longer in isolation, and her finances, where she lost everything, have now been restored to her in an instant. Imagine if we could have followed her home, the praises that she is singing. Not only have I been made well, but also everything that I lost has now been restored to me. She has been made completely and radically whole and lacking nothing. So while this is happening, verse 35, while Jesus was speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is now dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now. So in this moment, Jairus, man of belief, amen? Who Jesus was following. And he's turned now to talk to this woman. And over here is Jairus, man of belief. And words of unbelief have now been spoken to Jairus. Your daughter is now dead. Don't worry about Jesus coming. Words of unbelief have been spoken. Words of cursing, words of death have now come against what Jairus is believing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So where does unbelief come from? Hearing the words of unbelief, hearing the words of death, hearing the words of sickness, hearing the words of cursing. And in this moment, Jesus overheard them, and he says to Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. Only believe. In this moment, Jairus' belief has now been come against from what these people are speaking. They've spoken death over his daughter. They've spoken unbelief to Jairus. And in this moment, he's got a choice to make. Do I believe these words that they've now spoken? And before he can even make a decision, Jesus turns and he says, don't be afraid, only believe. Be that man that you once were when you came to see me at the dock, when I was following you. Don't lose that, only believe. See, my translation says, just have faith. But that word there actually is translated to believe. There is such a massive thing between belief and unbelief. We all have the measure of faith. We need to get rid of too much unbelief and only believe. Only believe is what Jesus said to him. So, in this moment, the crowd that is now following them has heard the words of unbelief being spoken to Jairus. They've heard the words that his daughter is dead. And Jesus recognizes what's happened in the crowd. The belief that was once there from the crowd following, yeah, we're going to go and see a miracle of healing take place. Now the crowd has been transformed to unbelief. Where there was once belief, there is now unbelief in the crowd. I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm not sure what Jesus is going to do right here. How is this going to work? She's dead. This is crazy. This is impossible. She cannot be raised from the dead. She can't come back from this. And so Jesus says this. He stops the crowd and wouldn't let anybody go with him. Only Peter, James, and John. Three disciples. That's it. People today, can I tell you, if you've got people speaking unbelief into your world, it's time to stop them. He stopped the crowd of unbelief coming with him. Stopped the crowd. And we see it again here in verse 40 when we continue. So verse 38, when they come to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion, weeping and wailing. He went inside and he said, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep. The crowd, who was in terrible weeping and wailing, it says they were like ugly crying, snot, all that kind of stuff is going on. Now the crowd in verse 40 laughs. at Jesus. It turns from a moment of intense grief to mockery of Jesus for speaking words of faith and words of belief. So look at what he does. He made them all leave. Get out. So not only does he stop the crowd once where they've had unbelief sown, but now he stops the household where unbelief is permeating the belief of the people that want to see a miracle. He gets them out. Sorry, I can't have you taint this faith. Sorry, I can't have you taint the belief that is here. So you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to get out. We're going to see a miracle. Only the ones that believe will see miracles take place. And he took the girl's father and mother and the three disciples into the room where the girl was lying, and holding her hand, he said to her, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. In this passage, we see two miracles take place. We see the woman of bleeding completely made whole, not only restored of her health problem, but also restored of her financial difficulty. Now we see Jairus' daughter, not only was she healed, but she was actually raised from the dead. Why? Because people chose to believe what they said about Jesus was true. When words of unbelief came in, they chose to only believe. Now come on, church, we've got to be people that would only believe. Only believe. Can I say this? That whatever you focus on will dominate you. Whatever you put your thought life into will dominate you. It will determine what dominates you. James 2:19 says that even the demons acknowledge that there is a God. Now today, there are some Christians that are happy to just acknowledge that there is a God. There are some people today that are happy that that's the extent of their Christian walk. We're happy just to acknowledge that, yep, there's a Jesus. Yep, there's a God. There's a God that died for me. And some Christians are in the same state as even the demonic realm. If the demonic can even acknowledge that there is a God, that he is real, that the enemy knows this word, he knows what it says, and there are some Christians even on a lower level than that. And it's a harsh word, but it's true. That there's Christians out there that are only acknowledging that there is a God. We're not going the step forth and believing that this word that he says is actually true, that it's actually for us today. Colossians 1:27 says that Christ lives on the inside of us. So no longer are we waiting for this Jesus to come and arrive on our shores. No longer are we waiting and having to say to him, "Jesus, if only you would come, I know that she would be healed. Jesus, if only you would come, I know that this demon would be driven out. Jesus, if only you would move, I know that this miracle would take place." But Colossians 1:27 says that Christ lives on the inside of us. So now if Christ lives on the inside of us, we now have supply on the inside. We now have supply on the inside, church. So now there is no longer excuses for things to not be happening in our world. The only reason is that there is too much unbelief. For too long have you listened to the words of the world. Well, your child is too wayward. There's no way that they're going to come back to the church. Can I tell you, church, that the Bible declares that the seeds of the righteous shall be delivered. That if the supply is in us, then no longer should Christians financially be lacking. The Bible says that he shall supply all of our needs, Philippians 4:19. Therefore, we should no longer be living in lack if we would only believe. It says in his word that by his stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53, that by his wounds, when he died on the cross, when Jesus took the lashes on his back, by that we are now healed. So supply is now on the inside of us. The Bible declares, lay hands and the sick shall recover. Lay hands and drive out the demons. Raise the dead. And yet today we're kind of like, well, I'm not sure. See, I'm just not really feeling it. I'm not really feeling like going out and doing this. And what people say is just, it's too much. What will people say about me? What will people think if I begin acting like this? But can I tell you, church, when you begin to get hold that Christ lives on the inside of us, that supply is already here, that all you have to do is believe, then we don't have to be worrying about what are people going to think, what are they going to say, what's going to happen, because if we're only believing, then we know that it's going to happen.
Amen?
Amen? So can I challenge you today, church, that we would be people, that we would be people that would only believe. Only believe. What's the time? I don't have time to get into it today, but what I was talking about with the belief and the unbelief, all throughout the scriptures, Jesus says he rebukes people not for having not enough faith, but for having too much unbelief. Never does he rebuke anybody for not having enough faith. If your Bible says that, then it's probably a mistranslation of the word. Because my Bible says that, and I looked it up. I was like, how does that make sense? If we've all been given the measure of faith, then how can he rebuke us for not having enough faith? But it just means simply that we have too much unbelief. And I heard this awesome description of it. It's like belief is here. Belief is over here and unbelief is over here, and we're in the middle. And it's like two horses and they're both pulling in opposite directions. But when you get rid of unbelief, then you're only going to believe and you're going to go towards the miracles. Amen, church? So can I encourage us that we would be a church that begins to live like this? That we would only believe, because supply follows belief. That day, Jesus' course was dictated to by belief. He had a plan that day. He was not going to the town just to hang out. He had a plan, yet his course, his route, what he was going, where he was going, what he did that day was dictated to by belief. And I heard this awesome quote. I'll finish with this. That we know we have a hardened heart towards God when we relate more to the natural than we do to the supernatural. And so this morning, church, I do not want us to be a church that thinks, wow, that just seems too far out of my reach to go and do these things. It seems too far out of my reach to actually live like Jesus. But the Bible says that we are just to believe. Just believe that he would do it. Just believe that he would move in your circumstance. Just believe that the word is true. And your situation, your circumstance will be changed. Can I tell you, if there's sickness in your family or in your life today, that he's got words for that in here. That if children are wayward, there's words for that in here. If you're in a financial mess, there's words for that in here. If you're bullying or depressed, there's words for that in here. We just have to believe, church. We just have to believe that it's true, that he moves on our behalf, and that the supply is already in us to move. Amen?
Amen.
So let me pray for you this morning, church. And if there's something that you specifically need prayer for afterwards, then we'll do that. We'll pray for you. But you already have the supply on the inside of you. You just have to believe. And I guarantee you that over this week, if you begin to get rid of the unbelief and just focus on the belief, focus on what his word says, then you'll begin to see circumstances shift. In fact, I don't just believe that, I actually prophesy that over you, church, that circumstances this week will begin to shift and change because of belief in this place. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that it is true. And God, I thank you that you are for us and not against us. That, Lord, that you have set out promises in your word for us, Lord. And so I just declare over these people that circumstances begin to shift and change because of belief, Father. Where there has once been depression, God, I declare overwhelming and abundant joy. Father, where there has been sickness, I declare that by your wounds they are healed. Lord, where there is financial poverty, I declare that that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, where there is any need, God, I thank you that you are supply. And that your word declares that you now live on the inside of us. So I declare belief to rise up in these people, Lord. That they would look back on miracles that you have done, Lord. And that belief would rise, Father. That they would recognize that they each have the measure of faith. And that belief begins to outweigh unbelief. Father, we declare over a city of lower heart. We declare over a city of lower heart that it be saturated in your love, God. Why? Because the people would believe. We believe for you moving in this city, Lord. We believe for the city to prosper. Lord, that the enemy would be driven out because you are here. So God, we give you glory for who you are. That you are the supply. That you are the supply, Lord, and you've given us everything that we need to just believe. So, Father, I pray renewing of minds over this week, that we would only believe in what you have done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.